Hi there, I'm Corey.
And I'm Lane. If y'all are looking for a little American magic,
then put away your athames and wands and dig out your box of roots, stones, and bones.
This is New World Butchery.
Tonight's episode, a brief overview of curanderismo, plus an interview with Carolina Gonzalez. Good evening and welcome to New World Witchery. Tonight we've got an excellent interview with the bewitching Carolina Gonzalez of Camino de Yara. She's a curandera from the Canary Islands who works with a distinct brand of spiritualism in her practice. I'll let her tell you all about what she does, but I wanted to start tonight's show with a brief look at curanderismo. I'm currently enrolled in a Coursera series which looks at the history and practice of folk magic and medicine from Mexico, because launching a PhD didn't seem like enough stress by itself. And there are a number of very rich, vibrant traditions about which I'm learning a great deal in this Coursera course. I'm certainly not an expert, though, so what I thought I'd do tonight is read just a brief article I wrote for the website that gives a very brief overview of what curanderismo is. Again, not from an expert place or position, but just as a sort of opening volley of intellectual curiosity about this very, very interesting practice. After that, you'll hear about it firsthand from Carolina, and if you stay tuned until the end, you'll also hear a little bit about a contest we're doing as well. I hope you enjoy this episode, and if it sparks some thoughts or questions, feel free to share them with us. Today I thought it might be good to remedy a deficiency somewhat, an area of American folk magic I've only glancingly addressed in the podcast. Curanderismo and its cousin tradition, Brujeria. We'll be giving these traditions only the most basic of examinations, as a deeper exploration of either would easily fill several dozen books, websites, and podcasts. But there are relatively few texts or web pages that look at these practices. Partly that might be a linguistic barrier, my Spanish is intermediate level at best, but I honestly think this may just be an area where the research is thin on the ground. I'd love to be proven wrong in that though, so if you know some good research on these traditions, please do leave a comment or link in the show notes. So to begin with, let's look a little bit at curanderismo. It's a system of magical healing, blessing, and cleansing, largely centered around the Catholic prayers and rituals, with a heavy infusion of folk religion and magic, and a bit of herb lore in some cases, a lot of it from the indigenous peoples of Mexico. A male practitioner is called a curandero, and a female practitioner is a curandera. Many of the rituals within this tradition have to do with the detecting and undoing of evil witchcraft, called brujería by curanderos, which gets a bit confusing, but more on that later. In Mexico, where the practice is centered, though there are an ever-increasing number of practitioners in Central and North American locations, a person might call upon a curandero if a family member seems to be plagued with some uncommon illness, or if their house seems to be exhibiting the symptoms of a haunting, or if they're feeling as though a general run of bad luck has settled onto them. One of the best resources on curanderismo on the internet is Doña Concha of the Curious Curandera website. In the introductory material for one of her many excellent courses, she includes the summary of the practice. Curanderismo is not only a form of folk healing. It also includes the practice of white magic, ritual, cleansings, energy work, spirit contact, divination, and a vast amount of prayer, just to name a few. While some practitioners prefer to engage in only one area, others work in all areas. Curanderismo is a very special practice, spiritual practice, with a strong religious faith. Practitioners use a variety of objects including herbs, spices, eggs, lemons, limes, holy water, saints, saint statues, crucifixes, prayer, candles, incense, oils, and divination tools. Most also include spiritual assistants. Not all practitioners work in the same way. For example, one person may perform a spiritual cleansing with raw and broken egg, while another may employ a bundle of herbs as a cleansing tool. While a curandera might perform rituals that help remove bad luck or might contact specific spirits, usually angelic or holy ones, they tend to shy away from any quote-unquote dark magics. Brujeria, on the other hand, literally means witchcraft, and is frequently perceived in a negative light. This system, however, is not entirely dissimilar from hoodoo, with a focus on practical, earthier types of magic for love, money, sex, and so forth. What gives Brujeria its bad reputation is an association with magia negra, or black magic. While both curanderismo and brujeria can work with magia blanca, or white magic, to provide cures, healing, and good luck, only brujeria works with things like spirit summoning and necromancy to achieve its goals. Brujo Negro, who runs a fantastic site on brujeria, explains magia negra as an extension of the grimoire magic imported by the Spaniards during the 16th century. He also points out that the native peoples of Mexico, the Nahual and the Xolotl, I'm probably butchering that pronunciation, did not particularly have concepts of good and evil. And so the concept of a branch of magic entirely in the service of evil would have been alien to them. Instead, the healer-physician figure, anthropologically referred to as a shaman in many circles, would use his or her knowledge of natural materials and forces, such as herbs, roots, stones, and animal parts, to craft specialized remedies for the community members struck with strange illnesses. The Spaniards did not always understand what the natives were doing, and so they viewed them and their practices warily. The use of grimoire magic, talismans, spirit invocations, and other spells which did not explicitly call upon Christian paradigms to accomplish their goals led to opposition between the brujos and the curanderos. This is not all that different than the supposed wars between the Benedanti and the witches of Italy, which Carlo Ginzburg has catalogued incredibly well in his book, The Night Battles. In truth, both groups were likely working in general for the good of their communities, though the brujos might occasionally use magic more aggressively to do their work, and likely they were a little saltier about the spiritual side of their practice. And just to be clear, in some cases, they did curse other people. Another group of magical practitioners, which might be the equivalent of fairy tale witches or malevolent wizards or folklore, may well have engaged exclusively in cursing practices and malevolent magic, in which case either a brujo or a curandero might be called to do battle with the wicked sorcerer, again demonstrating that the line between the two camps was a fuzzy one at best. The historical presence of folk magic among Hispanic communities goes back centuries, and while it shares certain commonalities with the European colonial experience along the Atlantic, it also strongly resembles the African experience in America. Contact between native peoples and the new arrivals was relatively high, and cultural exchange was fluid, if not officially indulged. I quote from Allison Games's Witchcraft in North America, "New Mexico witchcraft cases reveal a variety of features of colonial life in New Mexico that did not exist in other colonized areas of North America. For example, they show the physical proximity in which the Indians and Europeans lived, and the increasingly intertwined beliefs they shared about power, about magic, about healing, and about witches. These characteristics of New Mexico society were especially pronounced after the Spanish returned to the colony in 1706. Witchcraft was so much a part of New Mexico in the 18th century that Ramon E. Gutierrez has suggested that it was one of the three main issues that affected life there. Nothing comparable exists among the surviving records in British or French North America, at least as far as indigenous peoples are concerned." Now, this is not to say that relations were necessarily sunny between the natives and the conquering Spaniards, but the level of integration between Old World and New World beliefs seemed to flow both ways, with people like the Xolotl eventually adopting to the Catholic pantheon of saints and rituals of the church, while the Spaniards sought out community healers for their ethereal gifts. Witch trials could and did erupt, but seldom with the vigor found in New England, or even Old England, although there were several native rebellions against Spanish rule headed by shamanic, brujo, or curandero-type figures. The veneer of Catholicism covered a variety of magical practices and set them in an appropriate religious context, appropriate there being in quotes. Though in practice, healings were still being done through the agency of plants, spirits, and other magical tools. So that brings us to today. Just what does a curandero or brujo do nowadays? While much of what the brujas and curanderas do resembles another magical practice heavily rooted in Catholicism, that of stregueria, or more specifically the cousin tradition of stregoneria, which came from Italy and Sicily. I hope to dig into those traditions a bit more another time, but it might be good to look at some of the earmark practices common to both traditions, so that you can recognize it when you see it. You're likely to find 1. Divinatory practices, sometimes by cards, but just as often by very specific items like eggs broken into a glass of water, or the ashes left by a smoldering cigar. Saint magic, calling upon the intercessory power of saints to accomplish specific tasks. This is usually accompanied by rituals, such as candle burning or prayer. 3. Statuary or charms. This goes hand in hand with the saint magic for the most part, although there are other types of charms like milagros, which are little pewter, silver, or gold charms shaped like hearts, body parts, animals, and so forth, used as devotional offerings. Ritual cleansing, 4. Especially using holy water or natural elements like eggs, limes, lemons, and so forth, and this can be done on a person or on a specific place. 5. Liturgical prayers. These are used outside of the Orthodox liturgy and are usually repeated several times to gain their benefit in magical settings. Examples might include the Our Father or Ave Maria prayers. 6. Novena candles. These are easily found in places with large Hispanic or Catholic populations, and they usually have a pillar candle encased by glass with a picture of a saint, angel, or other holy being on them. On the back, they typically have short prayers, often in Spanish and English, which are recited while burning the candle. 7. Tobacco and other plant-based cures. Curanderas frequently blow tobacco smoke over someone to cleanse them, or make herbal tinctures or oils for use on a patient. 8. Massage or touch. Sometimes this is as simple as a light sweeping with the hands, and sometimes it involves a deep, thorough massage of an afflicted limb to relieve pain. 9. Music and other sound therapies. Risa therapy, or controlled laughter, is a common cure in curanderismo, and in both systems it is likely you would find ceremonies involving rhythmic drumming or chanting. Now, in the individual practices, the magic may lean more heavily towards one or another of those categories. Certain folk saints are deeply revered by one group and not the other, or sometimes revered by both groups in very different ways. A great example of this different but the same relationship is Santa Muerte, or Holy Death, a powerful spirit both loved and feared throughout Mexico. She's a big enough topic for her own podcast or special feature at some point, so I'm just going to leave it as a tease for the moment. As I mentioned earlier, brujería resembles hoodoo fairly strongly, and there are a lot of roots, bones, and rusty nails found in it, while herbal preparations for healing and cleansing tend to be very heavily emphasized in curanderismo. All of this, of course, is simply the lightest scratch across the surface of a very deep subject. I hope to provide more and more information through other posts on the website and hopefully through other podcasts at other times, but even then I'll only really be getting a fairly superficial understanding of this incredible set of traditions and practices. I hope this has been a useful magical appetizer. Coming up next, you'll get to hear from an actual curandera, the wonderful Carolina Gonzalez. Stay tuned! Tonight on New World Witchery, we have with us the excellent Carolina Gonzalez. Carolina Gonzalez is the proprietress of the Camino de Yara, I believe is how it's pronounced, website and spiritual service. And she's here to talk with us a little bit about her practice, which is it's a sort of a New World practice and an Old World practice. It blends a little bit of both. So I'm going to very quickly say welcome, Carolina. Bienvenidos.
Thank you very much. I'm very, very happy to be recording this interview with you.
Yes. Thank you very much for agreeing to come on. Did I pronounce it correctly? Is it Camino de Yara?
Camino de Yara, yes. It stands for Yara's Path or Yara's Way. Yara is one of the names of Maria Leonza, which is the main spirit of our religion.
Excellent. That's actually a great place to start. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little about yourself and your practice? Who is Maria Leonza and why is she important to you?
Yes. Maria Leonza is the chief spirit of what is called Maria Leonza Spiritism or Maria Leonza's cult. Not using cult as in sect, but as in worship, which would be the literal translation to Spanish. It is a form of spiritism that is born in Venezuela, in the north of Venezuela, and that blends native Indian shamanism, spiritism, mostly 19th century spiritism, and a very strong influence of all Afro-Latin religions like Santeria, Palo Mayombe, Umbanda, etc. Essentially, it is a form of spiritism because we work with spirits 99% of the time. But there is also a very strong amount of natural magic and herb magic and of shamanism practices.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, it's a little old world and new world because it is a very complex blend of elements. And I am not Venezuelan. I would like to say this very clearly. But the Canary Islands, which is where I live, we are located on the northwest coast of Africa, and Venezuela has had a relationship of immigration and emigration for almost 500 years since the islands were invaded by the Spanish.
So it blends the European culture there, but you also have obviously this Venezuelan religion plus the North African influences. So it's sort of
because all Venezuelans are baptized as Roman Catholics, like Spanish people. So the presence of Catholic symbols and ritual is very strong, yes. And that's the old world part.
Mm-hmm.
And the new world part would be, you know, the indigenous shamanism and the very culture of Venezuela. So it is, I wouldn't say it is a worship of spirits, but more a work along with spirits.
It's a relationship, basically.
Yes, and a very equal relationship. More than in other, I wouldn't say we do necromancy, for example. We work with, the spirits are, let's say, organized, although this, of course, is very, it's a very flexible organization. In cortes, which are groups of spirits that are together either by race, culture, even profession.
So you might work with, say, soldiers, for example?
We have, for example, a medical court of spirits of all kinds that were doctors and healers and shamans when they were human. Others are from, for example, the Romani court, for all gypsies, which is an ethnic group, and also by a degree of elevation and spirit development. The main court will be the Tres Potencias court, which is the Three Powers court in English, which is Maria Leonza, which is her, she is her, I wouldn't say, I don't like to use the word goddess, but she is believed to have, there are several legends about her origins, Some people believe she was a very wealthy Spanish woman who lived in Venezuela, a very kind and generous woman. Other legends point to an Indian princess. And other legends come even from a Canarian woman who was whose ship wrecked in front of the coast of Venezuela and was rescued by the Indians. So there are many sources, depending on who you talk to, about who Maria Leonza is. Beside her, there is Negro Felipe, which was a very, very important warrior in the process of independence of Venezuela in the 17th century. Mm-hmm. And Huaycaipuro, whom is one of the chief of the Caracas Indians. It is believed that they represent the mixture of bloods and races in Venezuela, as Maria Leonza being the Spanish blood, Negro Felipe being the African blood, and Huaycaipuro being the Venezuelan Indian blood. And how those races live in harmony in Venezuela and blend together.
Mm-hmm. And now, like you said, you're practicing this in the Canary Islands, mm-hmm. which also has multiple influences mm-hmm. In one location. Can you talk a little about
Absolutely.
The history?
While my practice as a spiritist is based on Maria Leonza's cult, there is a strong curanderismo tradition in the Canary Islands. That comes from both African and European influences, as before the Spanish came, the islands were inhabited by the Guanches, which are of Berber origin from the north of Africa, and they were invaded between the 15th and the 17th century by the Spanish, because this is a military and commercial point, as it is the along with the Azores Islands, the farthest point of Europe. After the invasion, the Guanche people and the Guanche culture was, as it has always happened, erased. And it blended, as it happens, with pagan beliefs under a coat of Catholic worship. And that became our curanderismo, which is called santiguado. So curandero or curandera, depending of male or female, mm-hmm. Is what a healer is called here. Through prayer and herb magic mostly, but also very, I would say, common practices in European magic. We heal, we pray for people, we release them from negative spirits, just as any healing practicing worldwide, really.
Mm-hmm.
And
what would be the difference, for example, between the curanderismo and the brujería practices?
Nothing. In my opinion, nothing. It's just, curanderismo is a Canarian, santiguado is the Canarian word. And uh-huh. brujería, it's the Spanish word. That's very much it.
Okay.
I don't see there is an essential difference. In the past, when people were forced to be Catholic, santiguado was used for, let's say, proper or healing or white magic. I don't really like any of those labels. And brujería for harmful magic. But I don't believe in those terms, and I don't use them myself. So, mm-hmm. in my opinion, there is no difference.
And with this magic, the source of the magical power, is it mostly the spirits, for example, Maria Leonza, or is it internal?
For me, it's everything.
Okay.
It's ourselves, first of all. That's, for me, the most important. Also, nature. It's essential. There is a lot of animism mm-hmm. in Canarian curanderismo and in Maria Leonza's religion, and the spirits, of course, everything. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have to drink from only one source when there are so many sources available.
Excellent. You mentioned nature as an important part mm-hmm. of your practice. I know wild harvesting is very important to you.
Absolutely.
Can you talk a little about the Canarian plants and their uses, and how did you get started wild harvesting?
Okay. Well, the first thing I'd like to say is that when I say Canary Islands, everyone thinks of a tropical paradise. And it's not like that at all. We are in front of the Saharan Desert, and we are volcanic islands. So our landscape is very harsh, very high volcanoes, very deep ravines, mm-hmm. very dry and windy weather, wind from Africa, and very dry and strong plants. You know, our plants are survivors of a climate that's not easy at all. Actually, our wild harvesting season only lasts from November to March, because the rest of the year it's too hot, too dry, and too dangerous to do any wild harvesting. And we have a lot of cactus plants. I wouldn't say that those are among the most healing, but many are toxic.
Mm-hmm.
But you can find here an aloe vera in every corner.
Right.
Rue, rosemary, most of the, let's say, South European herbs do very well here. But mm-hmm. as I said, only during the winter, which is short. Mm-hmm. Most of the time we have desert weather.
And you have a few plants that are very unique, that are endemic to the Canary Islands.
Yes,
for example,
yes.
The Arabian pea, I remember reading about.
We do even have a type of forest that only grows here called Laurisilva Forest, which is a prehistoric forest. We are isolated, and that creates a very, very unique environment, with lots of endemic plants. Yes, the Arabian pea is actually not one of the rarest. We have, for example, the Morris sage, which is a type of sage plant that is actually disappearing from the planet.
Mm.
Amazing, leaves as big as the palm of your hand. The scent is like 10 times the scent of a regular sage plant, which we have here too. This year we were very, very lucky to find two yerba mora trees, another endemic plant that is disappearing, sadly,
mm-hmm.
Because of building excessively. And the yerba mora plant, if anyone is interested, its Latin name is Bosea yerba mora. It only grows here on the Azores and on a very few places in the north of Africa. And as I said, it's disappearing. And it's, let's say, the holy grail of curanderismo in the Canary Islands. I actually was healed by a curandera when I was a child using that plant.
Oh, can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, of course. When I was 11... I think 10, 11, I got erysipela, which is an illness that is contracted by a mosquito. Mm. The mosquito causes necrosis, is the word, when the tissue dies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was told by a doctor that I would lose my leg, my whole leg. That is what's going to be amputated, because the tissue was dying.
Mm-hmm.
My father knew of a curandera in the town where we lived at the moment, and called her. She used only prayer and a new branch of yerba mora every day. She would like brush the the branch of yerba mora on my leg while she was praying, and after doing her prayer, she would burn the branch on a plate. And the first day, I was so sick and that I was having hallucinations because of the fever.
Mm-hmm.
On the third day, I was healed. And I have to say that I still have my leg, and and I had no problems after the illness at all. The tissue healed completely. And, well, from that moment, that was a very important element in what made me choose doing what I do.
Mm. That sounds like a very powerful experience.
It was very powerful. Yes, absolutely. I come from a family of people that believes in things, at most Canarians, and it was not, as I said, that woman was called by my father. She was a family friend, and she didn't hide it, or, you know, it's still a part of our culture, our everyday culture.
It sounds like it's a very open culture, and it's very accepting of this sort of magical reality.
The Canarian culture, absolutely. The Canarians have accepted Afro-Latin cultures and religions very, very powerfully. That's how I met the cult of Maria Leonza, and how I met Santeria and Umbanda. When people ask me, you know, people email me about the shop asking me, can you tell me what books can I read? I have to say, I didn't learn from books. I learned from other people, so I can't give any recommendations.
Right.
Everyone believes in something here. It's
right, so it came from practice and talking to other people instead of...
Yes, I was very lucky to find two, let's say, informal teachers, because there was no initiation process, and both of them were people that were important in my personal life, so there was a personal relationship too. Mm-hmm. And I think that having a personal relation was essential, so they could open to their to teaching me about their religions. And but I think they also opened, because at that time I had been practicing Santiguado and what you could call traditional European magic for quite a few years already, so I was not an outsider of magic mm-hmm. in itself.
Right,
and
because you had grown up with it, you had experienced it all of your life.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, yes. I've had experiences with spirits, and also with herb and tree spirits since I can remember, really. Not only me, my whole family.
That sounds like my perfect upbringing. I would love that.
No. Well, don't you think that because it is imbued in our culture, everyone is, you know, a pagan here? No.
Right.
Not at all. I have my share of reject, ridicule, non-believers, as any pagan in the world.
Right.
At 3 a.m., everyone tells you their secrets, but at 12 a.m., everyone is a proper person.
Right, that's the concept of the Saturday night pagan, Sunday morning churchgoer.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes. There is as much hypocrisy and as much hiding as there is in any other spiritual traditions.
Mm-hmm, of course. And I'm sure some of that, the negative, even comes from the pagan side if they see you working with, for example, what they think of as Catholic influences.
I have to say that my personal experiences with pagans, first, they have been online only because there are no pagans here. Really, it's a very foreign concept for us. Well, not for me, because my mother is also bilingual, so I could read in English from a very early age.
Mm-hmm.
But for Canarian people, and also for Spanish people, paganism is a still something new and something rare. Not so much in the mainland of Spain, but here I can tell you there are no pagans. So my experience with pagans, or people who call themselves pagans, it's mostly online. And I have to say I have been the luckiest online seller ever. I have had very, very little hate mail or ugly questions or ugly customers. I am very, very lucky with that. I understand the problem that many pagans can have with Catholic symbols and such. I have had nothing but accepting, loving, fabulous readers and customers. I'm very lucky, really.
That's wonderful.
Yes, it is. It is.
You mentioned people telling you secrets at 3 a.m. I know some of that comes through card divination, and you have a very special form of card divination. Can you talk about that?
You know, my best friend always says that when people meet me, they see, "Tell me your story," written on my forehead. So, for starters, there is something that turns people to tell me their secrets right away. And I have been reading cards since I was 13, so that makes it 25 years, because I will be 38 in a couple of weeks. I have read both the tarot cards and the Spanish deck of cards alike all my life. I like them both just the same. And I only work with questions. That's my request. I don't do general readings. Not sure if that is the correct word.
Right. But they have to ask you a specific question.
Yes, absolutely. Because I have had people think that that is the sign that you are less of a diviner. First, I don't see myself as a diviner at all, or as you would say, a psychic. I see myself as a witch. I use the cards as, let's say, a translator. I work along with my spirit guides when I do readings. They also speak through the cards, and very powerfully, I have to say. But my method is, for everything, hard work and lots of years. That's my method.
Yes.
Doing millions of readings and making many mistakes, of course, and going through the bad days. And going through the days when you see nothing. Going through the days when you don't like what you see in the cards. Going through the days of giving the bad news. All that. In 25 years, you have time for all that. And
yes,
doing it a lot. And always, always treating it as a profession. It was never a hobby for me or something for entertainment. So it is very important for me to be prepared to do what I do. I have studied philosophy in college. I am very interested in psychiatry, psychology, human behavior, ethics, anything that can make you a better healer. Because I believe more, I believe that the cards are not only for seeing the future, but for making choices about the future. So you are the person who controls the future. And what's the point of knowing what's going to happen if you don't get any advice about how you should behave when that happens? And
right.
So for me, it's I treat my customers as patients, not as customers. I like to work with them along their life. I don't like the kind of customer that just comes and goes.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more I know a customer, the better I know that person, the deeper the relationship, the better I can help, simple as that.
So
I have to say again that with that I am very, very lucky because my tarot customers are amazing. Yes, amazing people.
And you, the Spanish cards that you read, the Baraja, is
mm-hmm.
that correct?
Yes, Baraja.
So those are a little unique in that they are related to the tarot, but they're not exactly the tarot. Is that correct?
I don't think there is much relationship between the tarot and the Spanish deck of cards at all. People, when I was doing some research when I wrote an ebook on the subject,
mm-hmm.
and I read that a lot of people thought that if you know how to read the lesson arcana of the tarot, you know how mm-hmm. to read the Spanish deck of cards. Wrong. Completely wrong. They are completely different oracles. And I don't think they should be mixed.
And why is that?
Because the meanings don't match.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that in the lesson arcana of the tarot, there are enough good and bad meanings to make enough meanings to make a reading, but it's just simple. It's like, you know, if you try to read, I don't know, any other kind of oracle, that the runes, for example, using mm-hmm. the elements of the tarot. Yes, you can link some runes to, there is a similarity between some runes and some tarot cards, but they are completely different than... There is no need to, really.
Right. It is its own divination system.
Yes, basically. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And speaking
it's,
of that...
It's in the, I have to say that in the practice, I find that the Spanish deck gives you a much more practical, direct answer. And the tarot has a much deeper meaning. Mm. A much more complex meaning. The tarot goes farther and deeper, and the Spanish deck is more for everyday questions or practical questions, or questions
so
about
sort of,
people, for example.
So is it sort of like the tarot is like visiting a psychologist and getting a deep sort of personal profile, but the Baraja is like visiting your grandmother and saying, I have this problem, what should I do?
Yeah, that's very good. Yes, yes. Exactly.
And speaking of
there is something much more magical in the tarot. I have a 25-year-old marriage with the tarot, and and I have nothing but good of the miracles I have seen happening in front of the tarot deck. Really.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of the Baraja divination system,
mm-hmm.
I know that you have graciously offered a digital copy of your ebook on the subject to one of our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be doing a contest for our listeners, which I'll have some details about later in this episode, for anybody who wants to win that. And I will probably pair that with a copy of my own book on reading playing cards as well. So
mm-hmm.
you get kind of a two for one. But I wanted to say thank you very much for offering that to our listener.
I'm honored to do that. Absolutely. The Baraja is very easy to read. As I said, it gives you really practical answers. It's really not for the day that you need spiritual support, but it's for the day where you need to know, am I going to make it in this job interview, or
right.
is this person serious, or is this job worth yes and no questions? And also I would say that it is very good to uncover negative witchcraft work,
mm-hmm.
to know if you are under negative influence or negative entities. The tarot has a way of interpreting that as more of a lesson in the journey, but the Spanish cards say, girl, get the agua florida right now. So it's that kind of deck and that kind of oracle. You know, do this. So yes, I'm very, very happy to give away a copy of the ebook. And it's, as I said, it's very easy to use. It doesn't require any preparation or initiation. You don't have to be part of any spiritual tradition of any kind. Mm-hmm. And if you allow me to say this, we offer from time to time Spanish decks in our website. So yes, you can get them if they're difficult to get in certain places.
Yes, I purchased a miniature Spanish deck from you.
Yes.
About a year ago, and I love it. So,
as much as we can, we try to offer special designs or rare decks that our customers can appreciate.
Excellent. Well, speaking of your website, I know you, one, you're an artist. I hope people know that about you. You're actually an excellent artist. I've seen pictures of Maria Leonza and other pictures you've done that are just beautiful.
Thank you.
And your writing, your spiritual supplies are just, they're wonderful, wonderful things. I know you're constantly working on new projects. Do you have anything going on right now you'd like to share?
I have just started a blog for my doll work. I am a doll collector, a doll doctor, mm-hmm. and a miniature maker. Of course, there is a lot of influence of magic and paganism in my work, in my doll work. And we just started last month. And I have to say, my husband, Fernando, which is the other half of Camino de Yara, is also a wonderful artisan, a wood carver mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And we have started a separate blog about our doll work. I repair and give a second life to abandoned dolls. And on Camino de Yara, our intention is to continue doing what we have been doing, trying to offer excellence in every way. we are a couple of perfectionists, making each other more perfectionist, and we strive for the utmost quality on our products and our artwork, because it pays off, really. The spirits know. It's what I say to my customers all the time. The spirits know if the herb is well harvested or not. The spirit mm-hmm. knows if the agua florida is commercial or handmade. Mm-hmm. And their answer, their power, and especially, you know, ancestor worship is essential both in curanderismo and in Maria Leonza's religion. To give our ancestors something of superb quality, it's like life insurance for us. Mm-hmm. Because our ancestors guide us, help us, feed us, give us energy, heal us, teach us.
Right. It's gratitude and respect. I know that's something that you mentioned in your book on,
yes,
I think it's the Baraja, but the gratitude and respect that you should show the ancestors.
Yes, absolutely. And mm-hmm. and considering there are biological ancestors, the Wanches, were slaughtered, slaved, and almost made to disappear, mm-hmm. we believe it's especially important as Africans to give our ancestors the very, 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 very best. People, you know, I have a friend that tells me, you should take pictures of every step of the work you do so people could understand how long it takes to do just one thing that you sell. But the thing is, if I did that, I wouldn't be doing anything else, because none of us does any other job than this. We live on this. For us, it's 24/7. No holidays, no weekends, no... of course, we take time off, just like everyone, but if I have a customer, then it helps, and I'm on my day off, I'm no longer in my day off.
Mm-hmm.
This is more important.
It's more than a job. It's a calling.
Job doesn't even begin to describe it.
Right.
You could use vocation, profession, curse.
Well, it's like being a priest. You feel called to do it.
We are priests, of course. We are the priests and the priestess of our portal, which is our sacred space.
Mm-hmm. And it's also a little bit like being a doctor in that, you know, if somebody's choking in a restaurant, you're the one who has to respond.
Being an artisan, mm-hmm. because we are both specialized on disappearing forms of crafting, like hand spinning. We hardly use any machines on our work, maybe a drill. That's all I can think of right now. Everything mm-hmm. is done absolutely by hand. And I am specialized on as I said, doll repair and textile arts. And I'm sorry, it's very difficult to express all this in English for me because it's something so emotional for me, you know. It's my everything. I am what I am 24 hours a day, and mm-hmm. vocation is, it's not enough. It's, there is no word for this. Love, I guess.
I think our listeners will understand exactly what you mean. They understand that emotion, that emotional and spiritual core. So, well, those are all the questions I had for today. If people want to find out more about you and about the work you do, where can they find your work?
On our website. Everything is there. On our website, we have the shop, we have the blog, we have a lot of information on our herbs. We have actually a free guide on PDF for all the herbs we sell. So, because we understand that since many are endemic, they are not so known as maybe a no sage, mint, and mm-hmm. the herbs that everyone uses.
Sure.
So we give a free guide on them so everyone can use them. And we also have a lot of information on the website about Maria Leonza. Actually, 5 website pages are dedicated to her, explaining everything that can be explained to non-initiates. Mm-hmm. So people can have a good foundation on what the religion is and who are the main spirits, who are the main cores, the precepts we follow at our portal, and we have the shop there too. So our website is caminodeyara.indymade.com, and you can search for me as Carolina Gonzalez on Facebook, for example, and if you have any questions, just ask.
Excellent. And we'll link to your website and to your Facebook page in our show notes
yes.
as well, so
okay.
people can find you that way.
Yes, we don't sell anywhere else, and we don't sell to any other businesses. So whatever you want to get from us, it's on our website.
Excellent. Carolina, thank you so much for being with us on New World Witchery today. This was wonderful.
Thanks to you. I love this.
This is great. This is your first interview as well, isn't it?
Yes. We have been on Skype just a couple of weeks.
Well, this was a lot of fun, so thank you so much for doing this with us, and we feel really honored that you chose us.
Same here. I am very, very honored to be a part of your podcast. I love it.
Well, thank you so much, Carolina.
Estas noches de frío, de duro cierzo invernal, llegan hasta el cuarto mío las quejas del arrabal. En estas noches de frío, de duro cierzo invernal, llegan hasta el cuarto mío las quejas del arrabal. Arráncame la vida con el último último beso de amor, arráncala y toma mi corazón. Arráncame la vida, y si acaso te hiere el dolor, ha de ser de no verme, porque al fin tus ojos me los llevo yo. La canción que tenía te la voy a cantar, la llevaba en el alma y te la voy a dar. La canción que tenía te la voy a entregar, la llevaba en el alma, la llevaba escondida y te la voy a dar.
Hi, this is Kathleen of the Borealis Meditation Podcast, and I am very happy to announce a new project. You're still going to get your standard long format Borealis Meditation Podcast, but in addition to that, I'm going to be producing weekly Earth Science News updates. So if you want to keep up on what's happening with the world's volcanoes and the world's earthquakes and other breaking Earth Science news, please check out Borealis Meditation Podcast for the weekly Gaia update.
Well, thanks again to the ever-lovely Carolina Gonzalez. You can find links to her shop and her informational sites in the show notes. Carolina has graciously offered a digital copy of her book on reading the Spanish cards as well, and so I've decided to pair that with a copy of my book, 54 Devils, which has to do with reading playing cards. You can get it in digital or print, whichever you prefer, if you're the winner. That will make a giveaway bundle. Now, I may throw in another goodie or two as well if mood strikes me, so it's worth entering. But how do you enter? Well, it'll be super easy. Now, we've got a holiday show coming up, right? And I haven't asked for any holiday lore in a long time, so I decided we would have another holiday lore contest. All you have to do to enter is email us at compassandkey@gmail.com. That's compassandkey@gmail.com. With your oddest, weirdest, most unusual personal holiday lore. Do you like the Christmas pickle ornament? Great, send that in. Do you do a polar plunge? Even better. Do you do some weird combination of the two that I definitely do not want pictures of? Score! Just send in whatever you think is your most unique, peculiar, or unorthodox holiday ritual for any winter holiday. Each oddity gets an entry into the contest, so if you do 1 to 2 curious holiday things, that's 1 to 2 entries. If you do 14 bizarro Christmas tree Yule goat rituals, again, no pictures on that one, please, then that's 14 entries. Just make sure you tell me a name I can use on the show and what general region of the country you're from. A state is great, but even just a, you know, Pacific Northwest would be fine if you prefer. The deadline for entering will be November 1st, so please get your entries in before midnight on that day. So, I know I've not mentioned anything about this on the show, mostly because I've had a lot of up-in-the-air stuff with the move and everything else, but I will be appearing in person at some upcoming events. If you hear this episode before August 30th and you live anywhere near Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, I'm going to be hosting a booth at the Philadelphia Pagan Pride Day 2014 on August 30th. I'll link to the site in the show notes so you can get directions, times, and so forth. If you do come out to that, I'm hoping to have a mini-museum of a few North American folk magic items I've been collecting into a small traveling exhibit. And I'm also hoping to have a recording station set up so that if you want to share some local lore with me, you can, and you may even wind up on the show if you're interested. Additionally, I will also be at the upcoming Pagan Podkin Supermoot No. 5 in Chicago, Illinois, on the weekend of September 12th through the 14th. We'll have a group shop hopping day on Saturday the 13th, and the Podkin will be at the Chicago Pagan Pride Day on Sunday, September 14th as well, so come out and say hi if you can. I believe Peter Padden and Firelight may both be teaching classes at that event, and you should be able to meet with Velma Nightshade of Witch's Brew Ha Ha / Magical Miscellany, Dean and Atticus Hobb of the Lamplighter Blues, Phelan of the Kindle Witch, and several other folks, too, including me now. I'll have a link in the show notes for this event, too, but please come out and visit with us. We'd love to meet y'all. I first thought it was solely an iTunes problem, but it looks like it might be either in my files or WordPress, which is where the site runs on, so I'll keep working at it until I get it figured out. One thing I have found is that the issue seems to change from day to day, so if you can't get an episode one day through iTunes, you might be able to download it directly the next day from my website. The fickle mistress of technology. But I am aware of the problem, and as soon as I have a fix, I'll make sure to post an update. As a final housekeeping note, I've been hearing from several listeners that older episodes are having problems, only playing 10 to 90 seconds of a show, or not showing up at all in some cases. I have experienced it myself, and I've yet to figure out what's causing the issue, but I am working on it. I thought it was solely an iTunes problem at first, but it looks like there's actually a problem either in my files or in WordPress, which is where the site runs. So I'll keep working at it until I can get it figured out. One thing I've found is that the issue seems to change from day to day, so if you can't get an episode one day through iTunes, you might be able to download it directly the next day from the website. The fickle mistress of technology. But I am aware of the problem, I promise, and as soon as I have a fix, I'll make sure to post an update. That's it for tonight. Thanks again to Carolina, and thank you for listening. If you have questions or comments, please send them to compassandkey@gmail.com or find us on Facebook, which is facebook.com/newworldwitchery, all one word. You can look for us on Twitter, we're @NWWitchery, and our website is www.newworldwitchery.com, which houses nearly 200 articles on North American folk magic. So come check us out. As always, thanks for listening, and be well.